Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here, Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to invite you to join us in our Zoom fellowship, which follows right after this. If you are not do not have the link, you can find the link in the e-newsletter or the weekly update. And if you're not on our list to receive the e-newsletter and weekly update, you can go click on the Show More button right below, find our website, and go out where you can sign up, and you can join us in some of our other activities. And we look forward to having you there. And also, if you find this service to be enlightening, we appreciate all of your donations. Again, if you are wondering how you can donate and support Unity Center of Light, you can click on that Show More button, and it'll give you all the ways that you can donate. And we appreciate all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, February the 5th. The key word is healing, and the affirmation is, my faith is making me well. Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore's healing journey began when she changed her mind. Inspired by the words of a healing practitioner, she took this affirmation to heart. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. After 2 years of persistent health-affirming meditation, prayer, and practice, Myrtle was healed. Her faith made her well. Myrtle Fillmore lived joyously and vigorously for many years. I take inspiration from this story. I, too, am a living expression of God. I feel my body's quickening response as I claim my inheritance of divine life, vibrantly active in every cell of my body. Good nutrition, exercise, and rest support my healing practice. My faith is making me well. And the scripture reading is taken from Mark 5:34, and it reads, He said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are on a new adventure today. I'm just checking the sound. Excuse me for 1 minute. So we're on a new adventure today. This idea of being fully human and fully divine. Wow. So the topic we are exploring is, you know, it's an intriguing one and a complex one at the same time, being fully human and fully divine. So the fact is, we, each one of us, actually is both fully human and fully divine. Now, using its scripture, this definition of being fully human and fully divine is ascribed to Jesus. You know, that's what we always think of, which from a basic Christian viewpoint is understandable. Because Jesus is seen as fully human because he experienced all the characteristics of being human. And as it's explained in by Bible scholars, it says in the four Gospels that there is ample evidence that Jesus was fully human since he was born to a human mother. He said it in Matthew 1:25. He experienced hunger, Matthew 21:18, and thirst, John 19:28. And Jesus also experienced temptation, Matthew 4:1. Pain and suffering, Matthew 16:21, and he died, Matthew 27:50. Now, as I share, you know, this slide is just really for information because I don't believe it tells the whole story of Jesus' humanity, okay? So to continue at the same, you know, to continue with this idea, at the same time that we see Jesus as fully human, we also see him as fully divine. Fully God, okay? However, the one attribute credited to Jesus that might not be applied to us is that even though he was fully human, Scripture says that he was without sin. Okay, and we read that in Hebrews 4:14. It says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he had the same temptations we do, though he never once gave way to them and sinned. Okay, so a couple of things that need metaphysical clarification. One is that sin has been given a bad rap in Christianity from a purely fundamentalist viewpoint. However, the revealing word explains that sin relates to those times in our human experience that we fail to express the attributes of God in our thoughts, words, and actions. Which means the attributes of God's being, as we all know, life, love, wisdom, truth, power, peace, comfort, guidance, and so on. Okay, so there are times in our lives when those are not the kind of thoughts that are going through our mind, and that's what Scripture is referring to as sin. All right? So I think that we all know that, and we all know what this is referring to, because we can think about those times in our lives when stuff happens, and boy, what goes through our mind is cannot be attributed to the attributes of God, all right? And we all know that it just happens. It is when life just twists us around and we forget who we really are. Or as you heard me say before, we forget whose we really are. And yes, this notion of our failure to express the attributes of being or God could have the same psychological, emotional impact as a fundamentalist thought about sin. But there is a possibility that we just may not always be consciously aware of our failure to express God in all of our thoughts, words, and actions. Stuff happens. Reactions happen in our thoughts, words, and actions, and it may not always be, you know, what we would call words and thoughts and actions that, you know, show our awareness of God in our lives. Simply those times when it just doesn't dawn on us that what we're doing and saying is not where we really want to be. So whereas we may not always be consciously aware of our sinful thoughts, words, and actions, this exploration says that Jesus was aware and was able to avoid unconsciously falling into the trap of sinful thoughts, words, and actions. Okay, but knowing that the actions of sin can be outside of our human conscious awareness. Now, Jesus knew this. He understood that these, and we have, stuff happens, you know, the human side, it just, stuff happens and the thoughts, words, and actions that we have are outside of our human conscious awareness. We're not even aware that that's what we're doing, thinking, or saying. So Jesus gave us hope by explaining that if we believe in him and the teachings he gave us, we will also be able to broaden our mental emotional awareness and thus become conscious of living the sacred life free of sinful thoughts, words, and actions. Okay, now stay with me because I'm going to explain even more this idea of how do we move into that place in consciousness. And you know, those of us who are, think about it, been consciously studying and applying the divine teachings in our lives are most likely experiencing an awakening that is moving us in consciousness to a place where we are becoming aware and able to avoid sinful behavior, sinful, you know, thoughts, words, and actions that lack faith and love. Does that make sense? Okay. So you get into a place where it happens. It's almost like that thing we do. We, you know, I want to take that back. You know, I said that, but I want to take it back. All right. Because we became aware that what we're thinking or saying or doing, it lacks faith and love. Yes, it is our human reality that if we allow ourselves to become caught up in the local, national, world news, remaining in a sacred state of mind can be very difficult. But we have to learn to look at the space in between the constantly negative news. Constantly negative news. Sounds like CNN, okay? We have to learn how to look at the space in between the constantly negative news to find the people of faith because people of faith are typically not covered by the news, and people striving to live the sacred life do not seek to be recognized. They just do what needs to be done to bring peace and love and joy wherever they can. So despite the chaos in the world, there are those who are becoming able to live the fully human life, but without sin, okay? Now, Eugene Peterson, in his book, Run with the Horses, he explains this. He says, something very different takes place in a life of faith, okay? When you're living a life of faith, something different takes place. Each person discovers all the elements of a unique and original adventure. The Bible makes it clear that every time there is a story of faith, it is completely original. God's creative genius is endless. God never resorts to mass-producing copies of us. Each life is a fresh canvas on which God uses lines and colors and shades and lights and textures and proportions that God has never used before. Okay? So each one of us, or each one of our lives, is a unique adventure in learning how to reinterpret our life experiences in a way that we gain a greater and greater understanding of how to live fully human, but without sin. You know, without falling into that trap of the woe is me, of, you know, fear and angst and so forth, okay? We're learning how to do that over time. It's an awareness that happens for us. So our lives are not carbon copies of other lives. Each spiritual journey is a unique journey. And yes, we can walk, you know, the spiritual path together, as we do here in Unity Center of Light. But even walking together, hand in hand, our individual sacred journeys are unique, even when they appear to be the same due to similar experiences. In a Netflix series that Pamela and I have been really enjoying called Alchemy of Souls, a grand master explains to a student, he says, life is unpredictable. But you choose your own path. No matter how sweet or bitter it may be, you must taste it for yourself to really know what you are experiencing. But even though our experiences may be different, there is still power and glory in worshiping together. Okay, and being with other people like mine who are also on the journey. As we know, it's written in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Okay, so there's strength in the faith journey that we do together. So our divine commission is to do the work that leads to the transforming of our mind. That's what our divine commission is. Do the work that leads to the transforming of our minds. And if you're thinking, what is the work I'm supposed to be doing? Think of the time, and we say this a lot, think of the time you spend being in the silence, okay? Your time of prayer and meditation. Think of this time as surrendering to a divine process where your erroneous thinking, feelings, and emotions are brought into the light of spirit, okay? You are just sitting and being. And whatever fears or, you know, angst or anger or whatever is going on inside you, while you're in that silence, those thoughts, feelings, and emotions are brought into the light of spirit. And in this divine light, that which is erroneous within you is being transformed into a constructive force for good in your life. And that's what's happening. You say, what is happening when I'm sitting in prayer meditation? I don't feel anything happening, but that's what's happening, okay? And so it's being transformed into a constructive force of good in your life. And this is not something you are doing. Rather, the transformation is taking place within you. That's something that you're allowing to be done within you. So prayer meditation is your time of non-resistance to the renewing of your mind and body. Even if after you spend time doing that, you don't feel anything has happened. Okay. So I expressed near the beginning of this lesson that there were a few things that needed clarification. The first had to do with sin and the fact that Jesus was fully human, but without sin. Okay. The second is the idea that Jesus was fully divine while realizing that likewise, we are also fully divine. Okay. So let's look at this idea that Jesus was fully divine as a clue to our own divinity. All right. So often in our lives, stuff comes up where we really need both sides of the coin. All right. We need the fully human side of ourselves, and we need the fully divine side of ourselves. And it's important for us to understand that the two are not mutually exclusive. Within the context of whatever it is we are experiencing, the human and the divine can and do flow together. So it's not always like you have to say, to call on the divine self, all right? The process is happening. It's more of becoming aware, okay? And this probably happens more times than we're aware of. The fact that the human and the divine within us is moving together. It probably happens more times than we're aware of. And even in our most disturbing human moments, we really cannot fully exclude the divine, whether or not we recognize its presence and the work it is doing within us, okay? So we may think, you know, woe is me, I'm going through this real difficult challenge, you know, not realizing that the divinity within you is also at work, even if you cannot recognize its presence and don't even know what it is doing. So for the most part, it may be true that we perceive the events and circumstances in our lives and in the world through our human perception. Think about it. You watch the news, you hear troubling things, you know, a lot of times we're perceiving that through our human perception. But think about how our lives would change if we could view the world through our divine perception and know that it is what we, and know that's what we're doing. Know that we're seeing the world through our divine perception rather than our human perception. Now, the concept divine perception may sound like an oxymoron. But perception is our way of seeing and being in the world through our senses. But if we could realign our senses with our divine self instead of just our human self, think about how this could change our perception and our response to the events and circumstances in our lives. All right? So instead of just using our senses to just see from our human perspective, we begin learning how to use them to see from our divine perspective. And it's expressed in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now let's start to read that again. We all, with unveiled faces. Unveiled faces means we are learning how to look at our life through our divinity as opposed to just our humanity. So as we begin to look at life more through our divinity than just our humanity, we're looking at as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and we're looking at a mirror of the glory of the Lord. We're seeing it within ourselves, and we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, okay? So again, the veil is our ego perception, our human perception. It distorts our being able to see clearly the glory of God that we are. It distorts us from seeing the fully divine self that we are. And the distortion happens whenever we become mesmerized by the chaos and confusion in our lives. And yes, I agree. Chaos and confusion can be have a tremendous impact on us. It does. Okay, we all experience it in our own way, and it often is keeping us from seeing the glory of God and work in our lives, or in the circumstance that we're seeing. Okay, so metaphysically, the word glory means the realization of our divine unity with the allness of God. Let me say that again. When you talk about glory, and in that scripture said glory to glory, that word glory means a realization of our divine unity with the allness of God. Our fully divine self is connected to the allness that God is. And glory has the capacity to bring our fully divine self into the forefront of our awareness when life becomes disturbing. See what I'm saying? So when you talk about glory, you know, it's the capacity of bringing our fully divine self into the forefront of our awareness when life becomes disturbing. So glory has the power to remove the veil from our human perception so that we can see the truth about our fully divine selves and stand strong no matter what the situation before us is giving us. So glory allows us to be conscious of ourselves and notice the fear we may be experiencing. Glory allows us to become conscious of ourselves and notice the fear that we're experiencing, thus allowing us to change our perception by glorifying the Lord of our being. Okay? Now, the Revealing Word explains glory. It says that glory means to magnify with praise, to enhance with spiritual splendor, to adorn. Glorification is the highest spiritual state of consciousness we can attain. So when you are working to magnify yourself with praise, okay, in other words, you're lifting yourself up in difficult situations, and you're doing that with spiritual splendor, and you're working with this process of glory, you are moving towards the highest spiritual state of consciousness that you can attain, okay? So it is a work, it's a conscious work that we can do. And as the scripture from 2 Corinthians express, 3:18, we read a little while ago, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, the Lord who is Spirit is not something outside of us. It is within us as the fully divine aspect of our being. So all these words we read in Scripture about the Lord God and blah, 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 it's not talking about something outside of us. It's referring to the fully divine self that we are. And again, it's within us as the fully divine aspect of our being. So our work is to keep our fully human self in alignment with our fully divine self. And it is to keep our fully divine self in alignment with our fully human self. Okay? These two are meant to work together as one. And yes, yeah, this is no easy task because the world is a very challenging place. And this spiritual work can become exhausting, but it will be exhausting. Listen carefully. It will be exhausting until it is not. Okay? What was that saying?
It is what it is until it isn't.
Yeah, it is what it is until it isn't. Okay? But until that time, you know, it's our work to continue doing the work and not let it wear us out, okay? That's the key, not let the work wear us out. So, in reference to that thought of not letting the work wear us out, let's look at Jeremiah 12:5 to get some perspective on the reason to keep doing the spiritual work. It says, if you are worn out in this foot race with men, and I couldn't come up with another term for that, so please excuse that. But if you are worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? And if you don't keep your wits during the times of calm, what's going to happen when trouble breaks loose like the flood in Jordan? Okay? Now, this verse was brought to my attention in the book Run with Horses by Eugene Peterson. And the expression foot race with men has to do with our everyday lives, the daily stuff that frustrates and frightens and wears us out. This scripture is asking, if you can't deal with the daily stuff, okay, that's the foot race with men, meaning everyday stuff that frustrates and frightens you, what is going to happen when the really big stuff happens, which is a reference to racing against horses? You get it? It's a powerful verse. And these are legitimate questions, and at the same time, they are the answer to the question, why do I have to work so hard at this spiritual stuff when everything in my life seems to be going okay? And I think that was a question that in the first Wednesday night discussion thing that was brought up, that was written down, but we really never got around to discussing it. Why do I have to work so hard at this spiritual stuff when everything is going okay in my life? Just like say, it's sort of like the saying, you know, growing up isn't for sissies, okay? Now, Eugene Peterson answers that question about the spiritual life. He says, the spiritual life isn't meant for tourists, okay? It's meant for pilgrims. So you might be saying, well, what does that mean, okay? If you think about the meaning of the word tourist, it's a person who's traveling or visiting for pleasure. You know, everything's going well in my life. You know, I'm just traveling, you know, going through life. Everything's good, all right? And so that's a tourist. A tourist is in this life, is traveling and visiting for pleasure without nothing else in mind but that. However, a pilgrim is a person who journeys to sacred places for spiritual or religious reasons. A pilgrim is a worshiper, a devotee. And to travel this road of bringing the fully human self and the fully divine self into a state of oneness requires great devotion to the process. You can't be a tourist on this spiritual journey. You have to be a pilgrim. And it's not a matter of when you feel like it, you know. Oh, okay, it's like this thing of what's happening with church now. People wake up on Sunday morning and go, well, I don't really feel like it, okay, or I feel like it. But it's not a matter of whether or not you feel like it. And this is the way Eugene Peterson explains it. He said, feelings are great liars. If Christians worshiped only when they felt like it, they would be precious little worship. Think about that. We think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God says something different, that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel our ways into a new way of acting. And worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship, right?
That needs discussion.
Oh, thank
you. That needs discussion.
Yeah, Pam said that needs discussion. Exactly, exactly, right? So as we read earlier, our work is to give God the glory through praise and thanksgiving, okay? And remember, giving God the glory is actually the fully human side of you giving glory to the fully divine side of you. Again, not something that's happening outside of you, okay? So our work is to give God the glory through praise and thanksgiving, knowing God is active in our life and affairs, even if we do not feel that is the case. See, we're acting, the praise and thanksgiving, we are acting as if God is active in our life and affairs, even if we do not feel that is the case. That's what Eugene Peterson was explaining. And we said earlier, the work of glorifying God as the divine presence in our life and affairs is the highest spiritual state of consciousness we can attain. So it is by way of this worship of the God of our being, the fully divine self, that we develop the feeling for God as being real in the aspects of our lives. So it is the act of worship that develops the feeling that God is real and active in all the aspects of our lives. And this is when the fully human self and the fully divine self flow in perfect harmony. Okay? So I think that's enough. And I'm going to end this lesson with an affirmation for us to think about this week. It is from Science of Mind magazine, January the 24th. It says, right now, I see and listen with an open heart and know I am always in my right place, experiencing life fully. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's center ourselves. Allow your eyes to gently close. Find that comfortable space right where you are. Place your feet flat to the earth and straighten your spine as best that you can. In the stillness of this moment, take a deep breath and allow your mind and body to relax. Just breathe. Center yourself in the healing presence that's enfolding you now. Feel this loving presence of God as your body is infused with healing energy. The radiant power of love is yours in this and in every moment. You are whole and holy and ready to allow your body and mind to heal in mighty ways. The perfect life of God is flowing through your body right now, doing its work, cleansing, purifying, and healing anything that needs to be healed. Every atom of your body is an expression of pure spirit and contains wholeness and harmony. Feel it. Know it. Claim it now. Breathe and relax into the knowing that you are never alone. Feel the steady stream of healing energy and strengthening power that flows through you. You, dear one, are an expression of the divine presence of life itself. Now take another deep breath and feel the comfort and ease in your mind, your body, and your spirit. Now take these next few moments into the secret place of the highest and give all your healing needs to the Holy Spirit. Lord, may your healing hand rest upon me. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of my body and into the depths of my soul, cleansing, purifying, restoring me to wholeness and strength in your service. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. Come back to the awareness of your surroundings now and be at peace as you move back into your day.
Thank you, Hans.
Mm-hmm. I like the talk.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking forward for that for the Wednesday
discussion. Yeah, that'll make a good discussion for Wednesday. So, this is the time we become conscious of all that spirit has brought into our individual lives, our personal lives. This is where we give thanks to God for knowing that God is the resource from which everything that flows into our lives comes from. And so let's say this prayer together. It's called a prosperity prayer. And like I said, it's for each of us to give thanks for the prosperity in our lives. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
Now this next prayer offering is giving thanks and being thankful for allowing ourselves to let some of the divine resources to flow into our lives, to flow into and support our spiritual home. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, I ask you to say this with offering blessing with us together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have Light Notes.
Yes. So light notes for today, Sunday, February the 5th. We're still open to receiving your commitment forms for 2023, or your donations are tax deductible. We are blessed in knowing God is our source, and many are the channels that support our ministry. Please see your e-newsletter for making your donation. On Wednesday, February the 1st, now it's this coming Wednesday, which is not the 1st, because we've passed the 1st. But this coming Wednesday, Reverend Butch will take us on another deeper dive discussion. This is a great time to share your questions and join with your Unity family in these discussions. Please see the link in your updates and your e-newsletter. The Booklight Book Club will meet on March 12th to discuss the book The Universe is Calling by Eric Butterworth. The call of the universe, as Eric Butterworth explains, is the call to take charge of your life and release your imprisoned splendor. This book will lead its readers to a truer and stronger connection with the divine. Check for the link in your e-newsletter. Women of Unity, I am going to be sending out another email to you, letting you know when the next meeting will be and what the topic will be. Year-end statements have been sent out via email for those who have given us valid email addresses, and everyone else will receive their statements by regular mail. That concludes our announcements.
Okay. I just want to emphasize, too, that the purpose of the asking you to fill out the commitment forms, it just helps us to plan. You know, Unity Center of Light, as all churches, we just got an email from the head of Unity Worldwide Ministries, that church is just changing. And it's interesting, we don't know what it's changing to yet. But as we are planning for the year and trying out different things, your commitments help us to know that the support is there for us to try out these different things to create a worship environment that meets your needs. So, you know, we ask you to, if you're, you know, open to consciously submit that form. And also, just invite you on Wednesday night, you know, like some of the things, like maybe some of the ideas in the talk today were just like, whoa, I'd like to discuss that more. And that's what we do on Wednesday night. We've been having a great time and a great discussion in terms of exploring deeper these spiritual principles that we study. So we look forward to seeing you there. So it's from 7 to 8, 1 hour, and we get a lot done in that time. All right, so
it's now time to bless the path that we each will walk this week.
Yep.
So we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
Gusto. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. All right, and now we're going to do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, folks, it was wonderful being with you today. We hope that we see you in the Zoom fellowship. If you have never been into a Zoom fellowship, it's where we get a chance to listen to music, have discussion. There's a lot of exciting things that happen there. So please look in your e-newsletter or weekly update and join us. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. All right.
Bye-bye.